The delivery of humanitarian supplies to Syria through the territory controlled by the Syrian troops, and this was done with an attempt to knock Russia and Turkey head on.
The talks between Erdogan and Putin came after US President Joe Biden refused to grant a one-on-one meeting with his Turkish counterpart on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly.
Another pressing issue in Russian-Turkish cooperation is Ankara's purchase of Russian S-400 missile systems. On the eve of his visit to Sochi, Erdogan told reporters that he rejects any foreign pressure regarding this issue and intends to go ahead with his decision to the system. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We said when corruption happens, it will affect the rights of people, which is what we call human rights. The negative impacts of corruption, especially when we are looking at it from a political level, it is devastating on the people who inhabit the land or the citizens of the world in general. So when corruption happens, it will legitimize, or at least we can say, the democratic and political system. It will become eroded. It will become, It will become very weak, where people don't have faith anymore in this democratic system, right? Or in this political system. Because it slowly, slowly starts to decay. It's like a teeth. If it's not brushed, if it's not maintained and taken care of, or being taken care of, it will obviously decay, and soon enough, the person will feel the pain in his gums, and the pain will be severe. Same thing when it comes to countries, or systems, I should say, where is there a sense of corruption, where democracy itself gets eroded, and erosion happens, and it gets rusted, then people will lose faith. And then slowly, slowly, it might turn into, I don't know, instead of being a democratic, it will turn to a dictatorship, where one person, the president or the government that rules, they rule with an iron fist, as we can see in many countries, in China and Korea, North Korea, and, you know, a lot of the Arabic world, where the kings and the rulers, they're ruthless. Because democracy goes out of the door. They acclaim to be democratic. They acclaim to be democratic. They speak about human rights. For example, funny enough, this is not a joke, that Saudi Arabia, they consider to be champions of human rights, and they defend human rights, and they sign the Treaty of Human Rights, where they themselves, they behead their own citizens if they speak against the government, as we've seen with so many clerics and so many people who were beheaded recently because they decided to raise their voice against the corruption that was happening in their own countries. So corruption will definitely, if it is on a political level, affect the rights of people when it comes to their democratic rights and speaking of their minds and raising their concerns. Also, corruption, it will make people lose respect for their democracy itself and for the system itself
and for the people that run the system. Sometimes you go to a lot of countries, you see that the citizens of this country, they have immense love for the rulers, for the kings or presidents or who or what have you. They respect them. Why? Because they say, well, these people, kind, generous to us, they gave us everything that we require as citizens. We've been at least, let's say, honored and taken care of, and so on and so forth. But other countries, you go to, they curse their system, they curse their presidents, they curse their kings and whoever is in power. Why? Because there is corruption, and those people, instead of trying to help their citizens, they're actually going against them. They, you know, hurting them more. So, for example, if you look at Iraq and the regime of the former Saddam Hussein, you see how much people hated that guy and how much people curse him on a daily basis. Until today, he left a legacy of cursing because of the corruption that he left on people. So people will lose that kind of respect for the citizen, which is not something that we should have in a society, because we need to have a society that's strong and that is together. Let us take a break and then we continue after.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to For Humanity. Corruption contributes to disrupting economical, social, and political reform and reform efforts, obviously. If the government is corrupted, if there are corruption on a governmental level or political level, in society, we have a lot of needs. For example, let's give you just examples so we can make this point clear. That in our area, for example, we need streets to be paved. We need asphalt to be laid. We need bridges. We need better infrastructure of our cities, of our suburbs, or the places that we live in. These projects, obviously, they need the support, or they have to be done by the government themselves, and the government have to provide the funds for it. But then that does not happen. Where the government, even it might give money, the government might allocate amount of money, but those who are in power abuse it and take it for themselves. I remember in some countries, which I don't like to mention, for example, the government of a certain city, they get billions of dollars on a yearly basis, like as a budget for this city alone. And the governor of that city himself, he would have to give money to other companies, for example, to come and reconstruct the city itself, or build streets, build roads, build infrastructure and pipelines and so on and so forth. So they would get either, sometimes this happens as well, they either get an imaginary company that does not exist in reality. It's got a website and stuff, but does not exist. And they say, well, we gave the money to these guys, and these guys just fled away, and they did not do a good job. That could happen, which I know that happened in many cases. And sometimes, no, they do bring someone to, for example, to build the roads, but they do such a bad job that the road itself, the asphalt becomes dust within a matter of months. And you can see the level of corruption happening there. So when this happens, it deprives people of their rights, it deprives people of their infrastructure that they should have, and it weakens it completely. So there will be no more reform, because we constantly need reform on an individual level, on organization level, on every level in society. There has to be constant reform for the better in building, reconstructing, trying to make things easier for people. I can't be living in the 21st century and yet I still have roads
that have holes the size of a black hole, for example, or buildings are still old and we still don't have tap water, for example, in a lot of cases. That should not be happening. If this is happening and if we're still living in such systems, then be sure that the system that you live in is absolutely corrupted. That system that you live in is taking your rights because they're not leaving a gap. They're not giving time or a chance for reform to happen. So when corruption happens, reform goes out of the door. We'll leave it up to here, and inshallah we will continue in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. وعلى آل النبي أجمعين فبهم نرجوك أحسن ختمنا.
In the limelight. Sharp cuts in methane from leaking gas drilling platforms and production sites could play a major role in the greenhouse gas emissions reductions necessary to fulfill the Paris Climate Agreement. And should the key aim of the COP26 United Nations climate talks, new research has suggested. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian's environment correspondent Fiona Harvey. The piece is titled, Cutting Methane Should Be a Key COP26 Aim, Research Suggests. Stay with us for more. Sharp cuts in methane from leaking gas drilling platforms and production sites could play a major role in the greenhouse gas emissions reductions necessary to fulfill the Paris Climate Agreement and should be a key aim of the COP26 United Nations climate talks, new research has suggested. Cutting global emissions of methane by 40% by 2030 is achievable, with most cuts possible at low cost or even at a profit for companies such as oil and gas producers. It would make up for much of the shortfall in emissions reduction plans from national governments, according to the Energy Transitions Commission think tank. Ahead of COP26, senior United Nations and British officials have privately conceded that the top aim of the conference, for all countries to formulate plans called Nationally Determined Contributions, or NDCs, that would add up to a global 45% cut in emissions by 2030 will not be met. However, Britain, as host of the summit to be held in Glasgow in November, still hopes for enough progress to show that the world can still limit global heating to 1.5 degrees Celsius, the aspiration of the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement. Methane is a powerful greenhouse gas, about 80 times more potent than carbon dioxide in warming the planet. It is the biggest component of natural gas used for fuel, and leaks can be caused by poorly constructed conventional drilling operations, shale gas wells, gas pipelines, and other fossil fuel infrastructure. Methane is also flared from some oil production sites. Staunching such leaks or capturing the methane instead can be done at a low cost, and can even be profitable for gas producers, especially now that the international gas price has soared. Just a few key producers, Russia, the United States, China, and Canada, could make a massive impact. Adair Turner, chairman of the Energy Transitions Commission think tank, ETC, said, "It is clear that if you add up the nationally determined contributions, they're not big enough to keep us to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. There is a huge gap left, but there are some actions that you can imagine groups of countries taking that could close that gap. The United States and the European Union recently announced a partnership aiming at reducing methane emissions by 30% by 2030. But Adair Turner said more could be achieved, and this would help to compensate for the relatively unambitious, nationally determined contributions that many countries have. "We have not focused enough on methane, but it can be a really important lever, and cutting it has an impact on global heating sooner rather than later, which matters if there are feedback loops in the climate system," he added. Adair Turner also pointed to other key actions that could take place at the COP26 conference, which he said would substantially help global efforts to tackle the climate crisis. For instance, helping developing countries to phase out their existing coal-fired power stations was one key way of reducing reliance on coal. In India, for instance, new coal-fired power stations are now more expensive than renewable alternatives, yet the marginal cost of electricity generation from existing coal-fired power stations is still cheaper than wind power or solar power. That means companies have an incentive to keep old coal-fired power plants going, but if they could be paid to phase out the oldest, that would accelerate the country's move away from coal. "Developing countries need financial support to do this," Adair Turner added. Steel could be another focus, according to Turner. Steel companies could move to green steel production using hydrogen far more easily than a few years ago, he said. A global agreement among steel producers at COP26 in Glasgow could achieve that, and similar global agreements were possible among cement producers, the shipping industry, and other high-carbon sectors. Many countries, Adair Turner added, were submitting their nationally determined contributions that were too cautious and did not reflect how fast businesses were already cutting emissions and moving to green energy and clean technology. "Nationally determined contributions have not caught up with what is possible and what is actually happening," he said. Emissions of the powerful greenhouse gas methane have surged in the past 15 years, threatening to thwart global attempts to combat climate change. Scientists have been surprised by the surge in methane emissions, which began in 2007 and then was boosted even further in 2014 and 2015. Concentrations of methane in the atmosphere over those 2 years alone rose by more than 20 parts per billion, bringing the total to 1,830 parts per billion. This is a cause for alarm among global warming scientists, because emissions of the gas warm the planet by more than 20 times as much as similar volumes of carbon dioxide.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allah ya Allah subhanallah. Allah ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allah wa la ilaha illa Allah. Allah ya Allah wallahu akbar.
Dear brothers and sisters, you are listening to The Spring of Truth from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to a short part of the book Sirru Salat, The Secret of Prayer, written by Imam Khomeini. Our name is the very manifestation of act with which the house of realization is realized and actualized. The term name referring to real things is frequently noticed to be used by Allah, His Messenger, and the infallible Ahlul Bayt, who said, "We are the beautiful names." In the noble invocations, one frequently recites, "By your name in which you manifested to so and so." It is possible that the Bismillah at the opening of each surah belongs to the same surah. For example, the Bismillah of the blessed surah Al-Hamd belongs to the surah itself. This opinion coincides with the mystic taste and the way of the people of knowledge, as it is to say that the praise of the praise and the eulogy of the eulogists point to the self-subsistence of the name Allah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and you are listening to Spring of Truth coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So stay tuned with us. I am your host, Abdullah Al-Musawi, an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qom. We are looking at Imam Khomeini's point of view when it comes to Ashura. Imam Al-Khomeini was quoted saying, "The lamentation for the master of the martyrs is a mean by which his ideology, Islam, can be preserved." Now, many people don't understand that crying for Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayh, it's not an act for self, but rather it's a mean to get us from one point to another. Now, even we look at Imam al-Sajjad salamullah alayh, he was able to send messages and communicate with his followers through dua, as we all know, as-Sahifa as-Sajjadiyya of the Imam. He was able to send messages to them through supplication, which an enemy can say, well, obviously there is no harm in that. When it comes to Imam al-Hussein, the essence of Islam, the ideology of Islam, was preserved through the mournings and lamentations for Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi. These messages were encoded in the eulogies, in the sermons, in the lectures that are delivered to the masses through these gatherings.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
The minute people don't understand that if these gatherings continue, then we are preserving Islam. If the passion still flows inside us for Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi, then Islam will continue. The minute people start to say, well, I don't need this, this is not required, that is when we lose everything. That's when the essence of Islam dies. Because Imam Hussein, simply on the plain of Karbala, when he went and he fought, it was just a battle, if you just observe it and analyze it from a different perspective. But every move, every word the Imam utters, holds a message, it holds the essence of Islam. And now it's up to me and you to uphold this message of Islam and pass it on. In the same way that those before us have continued the message of Imam Hussein throughout these mornings, we have to do the same.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Syria's ancient city of Aleppo seems getting a taste of normalcy amid reconstruction efforts and the war-ravaged city. A Syrian historian has also been contributing to make the city regain its lost glory. Ala al-Sayed is working to faithfully restore the lost sections of Aleppo's old city. For that, he is using documents and clippings he himself saved during the early years of the conflict. He says he came up with the idea to digitalize those documents in 2013. Then he embarked on organizing newspapers, books, and pamphlets while scanning each one to add to his digital library. Following the liberation of Aleppo, Ala came back to the city and started renovating historic places which are on the World Heritage List.
The North Dublin suburb of Howth has a new highly efficient firefighting crew. The group has 25 members, but none of them are human.
Howth was targeted by a lot of fire, and so there's a lot of gorse here, and it's prone, it's very flammable. The goats, on the other hand, love gorse, so it's a win-win in that sense. I suppose the project also focuses on the old Irish goat, defining their role as a functional biodiversity crew. They're a hard-working crew. They're up for the job, they're keen to do it. It also instills key conservation grazing principles to tackle fire prevention, habitat management, and the control of invasive species. So it's the old Irish ladies that have a job to do here and are well able to do it.
The goats graze eagerly on the ample gorse bushes, which are highly inflammable and cause blazes in hot weather. The local council hopes their deployment will make Howth less susceptible to wildfires. Conservationists also hope that the project will contribute to the survival of the old Irish goats, which almost went extinct in the last century. Each member of the herd has a box around their neck with a built-in GPS device. If the goats stray too far, the gadget will ping and let the owner know.
Five Siberian tiger cubs born in a South Korean zoo have made their first public debut. The cubs were born at Everland Theme Park in Yongin in late June. Their birth brought joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts as they are listed as endangered species. Zookeepers say it's unusual for Siberian tigers to give birth to five babies at once. South Korean people selected the cubs' names through an online vote. Many exotic fruit plants need the tropical climate to grow, but a Syrian is producing nearly 100 types of tropical fruits at his backyard in a coastal city of Tartus. Mohammed Hassan's passion for agriculture is to the extent that he left his job in media to build a farm. He managed to create a tropical environment at his compound, and that was the reason behind his success in growing fruits that are rare in many parts of the world. In fact, he has turned his farm into what he likes to be described as a tropical cave.
I came across the world of tropical fruits as some of them existed here. Many immigrants also helped me on this path. They bought me special varieties from India, South America, the Caribbean and other countries, even China. Currently, we grow 93 types of fruits.
Hassan's success has encouraged other Tartus residents to create their own farms. The government is also assisting Hassan with his unique business. His farm is now open to tourists and visitors where they can taste the products. Hassan says he has bigger plans for the future and is thinking about using his tropical environment to raise and breed rainforest animals. In Brazil, paleontologists have discovered the fossilized remains of a dinosaur that lived roughly 70 million years ago.
It's a bipedal dinosaur with short arms, around 5 meters long, and it was at the top of the food chain in the period in which it lived. It was the predator at the time.
Paleontologists say the fossil suggests a dinosaur species known as Kurupi itata was a meat eater. They found the ancient predator's remains at one of Brazil's richest sites for dinosaur findings in the city of Sao Paulo. The first piece of Kurupi itata's fossil was unearthed during an excavation work in 2002. Until the completion of the research, a model of this species would be on display at Monte Alto's Museum of Paleontology. Experts believe the discovery would help scientists better understand paleontology on Brazilian lands. Most of us know the feeling of being moved by a work of art. A Kosovo artist tries to make us understand a form of political discourse through a mosaic of outgoing German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Alkent Pajogo has made a Merkel mosaic from seeds. The artist says he wished to thank the German leader for having been an example for all the women of the world. He says his work is also a tribute to the towering lady for the support she had given to his country, which declared its independence in 2008. Pajago was doing his work on the same day Germans were voting in the general elections to choose a successor to Merkel. Alkan Pajago holds 2 Guinness World Records for his giant mosaics made with seeds.
Technology plays an important role in our daily lives. This time, a French company has introduced a device to help the visually impaired to avoid obstacles. The smart electronic device detects obstacles and warns users with a beep. People with vision loss can install it on the top of their canes and receive information through headphones. The gadget helps people to dodge barriers on the ground and above that, for example, the open door of a truck.
If you hear the sound to the right, it means that the obstacle is on the right. If it is straight ahead, the obstacles are in front of you. So you change course according to what you hear. If you hear an obstacle to the left, you go to the right, and this way you can go around the obstacle.
The device costs around $2,300 and is now being used by hundreds of people in Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, and Switzerland.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Wally the Walrus has risen to fame with his extensive travels around Europe. Now the giant mammal has added Iceland to his list of trips. Wally has previously visited France, Spain and the UK. His last known location before Iceland was Ireland. Scientists were not sure at first if they had indeed seen Wally, but Seal Rescue Ireland recognized him from scars on his front flippers. The wandering walrus is 4 years old and weighs about a ton. He has covered a distance of around 5,000 kilometers in his recent trips. Wally is now on his way towards his home in the Arctic. French zoo has had a very productive year, welcoming multiple new animals into its collection. 2 pumas, 2 jaguars, 9 Peruvian squirrel monkeys, and even rarer, macaque twins are new additions to Le Minghe Zoo this summer. The animals were bred as part of a program designed to maintain and promote the conservation of endangered species. Once they reach the breeding age, these animals will be transported to other zoos to help boost the population of their species.
Now, a museum in Russia's Kaliningrad has unveiled a special exhibition to the public. It would not be exactly wrong to call the artworks out of trash. All the works exhibited are made of rubbish. The exhibition is showcasing a wide array of objects, including sculptures, musical instruments, robots, and costumes. The project was designed with the aim of raising awareness about recycling. People visiting the exhibition were delighted by the creative use of garbage. Only 7% of waste is recycled in Russia each year, while a vast amount of trash is stored in landfills.
An Egyptian artist is making incredibly tiny statues of famous historical figures and landmarks on pencil tips. 30-year-old Ibrahim Balal is based in the city of Rashid, south of Cairo. He has mastered the art of crafting miniature sculptures. Ibrahim mostly creates statues of Egyptian pharaohs, but Islamic, Greek, and Roman figures also feature in his portfolio. The artist received some criticism when he first ventured on his art, but he persevered and rose to prominence with his minuscule statues. Ibrahim's dream is to open a museum of miniature sculptures someday.
Fourteen lucky penguins have been returned to the seas off the Atlantic coast of Argentina after rehabilitating them from malnutrition and hypothermia. The Magellanic penguins waddled back happily into the chilly waters once they were released. They were distressed, malnourished, and dehydrated when they were found by conservationists in February. There are an estimated 2 to 3 million Magellanic penguins in the world. The cute birds are named after Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan. They are mostly found around Argentina and Chile.
Another groundbreaking archaeological discovery in Peru is now catching attention. 800-year-old human remains south of the capital, Lima, highlight the ancient burial rituals in the South American country. The remains of 8 adults and children buried in a common tomb were found by a group of workers laying gas pipes at the site. They were buried with food, dishes, and musical instruments, including flutes. Archaeologists say that the 8 people lived in the ancient town of Chilca, some 60 kilometers from Lima. They say some of the bodies were buried with the shells on their heads and had bags with cocoa leaves inside them. They say the discovery will shed more light on the pre-Hispanic history of the region. Another 30 human remains have been discovered in Chilca in 2018.
A taxi company in Thailand has turned its vehicles into mini vegetable gardens to help its drivers who are out of work due to the coronavirus pandemic.
The point of this project is so that employees have something to do to reduce stress. To a certain extent, it has helped with reducing our stress, but it isn't really the answer to the situation right now. Even though the drivers and the staff are able to harvest the vegetables for food, it's just part of solving the problem. I think the government should also step in to help us too.
The taxi company is growing vegetables on the roofs and hoods of 300 disused taxis that are parked idly. Prolonged COVID-19 lockdowns have affected the drivers' income negatively so that they are unable to pay the lease of their vehicles. Therefore, working in these gardens has reduced their stress and provided the drivers and their families with food. Farmers working on the border between Venezuela and Colombia have discovered a tusk that is believed to belong to an American mastodon from 16,000 years ago.
We went to the place and the fossil was there, and then we realized it was something very important. We rescued it because there was a risk of it being lost, and at this moment, it's in the Archaeological and Paleontological Museum of Agualinda.
The experts say the discovery would help them with complementing information about extinct animals and ancient settlements. They say the finding of the tusk in the site would increase its potential contribution to scientific researchers. The discovery of mega faunal fossils in South America has been common over the past decades. In 2019, more than 800 mammoth bones were discovered near Mexico. A group of Cambodian students has designed a manned drone in an attempt to beat traffic. The drone has eight propellers and a school chair for the pilot's seat. It can carry a human weighing up to 60 kilograms. The creative students say the drone is still in its early stages of development and testing. Equipped with four batteries, the human carrier drone can fly up to 4 meters and around 10 minutes above the ground.
Here we have big problems related to traffic jams, so we did some research about this before building the drone. We came up with this drone project as we had the idea that we wanted to solve some problems for our society by making a drone taxi, as well as investing drones for firefighters to help put out fires.
The prototype can or has cost around $20,000 to build. The designers say they need 2 more years to complete the project. The school has expressed hope that the drone could be used in everyday life.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pitch.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islam my deen.
Islam my deen.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, and other life forms. Welcome to today's episode of Youth Station.
Choo choo ka choo, it's the Youth Station for you.
You know what? I actually missed that.
You did.
I'll let it slide, you know, get this just this once. Thank you so very much for joining us. It's been a minute since you've had us both in the studio. I am Zainab and.
I am Muzaffar.
So, yeah, how's life been, bro?
It's been good. It's been good. Just been very, very, very busy.
Very busy.
Life is busy for everyone nowadays, isn't it? You just can't find any time to just sit down and contemplate and think about life.
True.
Which it's great that I'm here, actually.
What?
Youth Station is the place, because while the train of thought is rolling on, you can just, you know, gaze out of the window and think.
Right.
Opportunity, sister.
It is true. Life is hectic. And especially during a certain age, I feel that a lot keeps happening all the time. And I think it's during these situations that we come to a better understanding of how much God helps us. And I think it's during these times that we come to a better understanding of how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has our back.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to go through difficulties and trials and tests and tribulations before you realize just how much Allah is helping you.
Yeah, exactly. But
there's always a but.
There's always a but. There's a fine line between Allah helping you out. Are you expecting Allah to help you because he's God and it's like sort of his job to help you? You're his helpless, feeble little creation.
We're pathetic,
yeah. You know, compared to the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there's times that you downright expect a miracle from him.
Mm-hmm. Is there another but coming or?
No, that's it.
Okay.
You know, when is it that we can expect divine aid? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question, actually. Can you expect it all the time?
Exactly.
Or can you only expect it sometimes? Mm. Well, let's go first to the verse of the Quran. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, in tansurullaha yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. O you who believe, if you help Allah, he will help you and make firm your feet.
Exactly.
So that's the first thing. You want the help of Allah?
You got to help him. But then, you know, we're like, well, you just talked about how we're the helpless ones and we're the needy ones and Allah is so awesome. Why would we need to help him?
Do you know, the other day, my daughter was carrying, like she wanted to carry the groceries back to the house. My daughter is 3 years old. Very little girl. She's a toddler. Right? She wanted to help bring the groceries into the house.
Aww.
It was more painful and excruciating and painstaking for me to give that little bag to her and let her carry it to the house. It would have been easier for me to do it myself, but I let her do it. And at the end of it, I gave her a little chocolate, right? Or I gave her some praise or something, you know, to make her feel good about herself.
Mm.
Right? She's learning through that process. Did I need her help?
Not really.
No.
Not at all.
she really wanted to do it, right?
Yeah.
And through helping me, or at least through her perception, she's helping daddy, right? She grew. That's how Allah's treating us. He doesn't need our help at all, right? We're like ants. We are pathetic.
Yeah, but basically it's like helping the cause of Allah. And
Ahsan.
I think helping Allah manifests itself best when we help one another, right? Because where is the cause of Allah carried out other than within his creations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Helping the cause of Allah means fighting against injustice. Where is injustice carried out? Against other people. Helping the cause of Allah is helping the needy, feeding the poor, the hungry, and stuff like that. And through that, I think growth would be the greatest reward we can receive from it. But then there's this, like, sometimes you're not the subject, right, isn't necessarily something that you could think of as, okay, this is the cause of God.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, it's like a money issue.
A money issue,
or like a house issue, right? It's like a mubah act. You can't actually say that, okay, this is qurbatan ilallah, even though every action can be.
Technically, it should be.
Exactly, with the right intention.
Trying to get to that stage, but very far from it, yeah.
True. But then you're like, you're stuck in a situation like that, and you're like, yeah, only God can help me, and I really hope he does, you know? Brothers and sisters, we're going to go on a short break, so please stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You are listening to Youth Station, and we have been talking about divine aid. How does it work? And where's the line between that and miracles?
Well, okay, let's start with a story, okay?
No, great.
Yeah, you like, come on, you like my stories, all right?
Totally.
So there was this guy, he was drowning, and he's going, God, help me, God, help me, and a boat comes along.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably heard this. But a boat comes along, and he says, I'll help you. And the guy is drowning. He goes, no, I don't want your help. God will help me. So the boat goes away. Then another boat comes and says, I'll help you. The guy who's drowning, he goes, no, I don't need your help. God's going to help me. The boat goes away. The third boat comes. He even turns that one away. And then he dies from drowning. When he goes to heaven, he turns up at the doors of heaven and he says, God, why didn't you help me? And God, this is a Christian story, God is speaking to this guy directly, but God says to him, I sent you three boats, stupid.
So here's the first thing, which you quite rightly pointed out. If we're helping something, it's the creation of Allah. It's not help. It's not helping Allah directly, God forbid. And if we're receiving help as well, it's through His creation. So that's the first thing that we need to recognize. So when it comes to us thinking that we have no other helper now except for Allah, first we have to ask ourselves, really? Is that the reality?
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 right? And you have to just look intellectually. Sometimes it's our imaginations which have just, you know, it's those negative thoughts which have cornered us. It's shaitan that's making us think that there's no way out. But the reality is,
if
God brings you to it, He can bring you through it. That's the reality.
What if God wasn't the one who brought me to it? What if it was because, as a result of a series of really dumb decision making, you know?
Yeah, we all know that.
Person of myself.
Yeah, God hasn't even, that's the
and
worst.
Yeah, and
actually,
God is like, don't drag me into this, yo. I had none to do with
you
this.
You did this yourself.
Exactly. You're on your own, fam.
That's the worst
but Allah never
situation
says that,
for you to
does
be
he?
In. He does. The verse of the Quran that says, you know, the good that you do, it's from Allah. Mm. The evil that happens to you, it's from yourselves. Or when it says, you know, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر, you know, corruption has appeared on land and sea because of what?
بما كسبت
أيدي الناس, because of what the hands of men have wrought. Otherwise, the world is actually quite beautiful, isn't it? No. Look, you just need to take a lot of the people out of the equation, and it is actually a beautiful world to live in. It's people who have made it corrupt and complicated and sticky, and we've done this to ourselves. So anyway, let's say
When it's in these situations, I think it's kind of like audacious of me to still expect God to, like, you know,
help
me out.
And that's the thing that really corners us, because you're like, okay, I've done this myself.
I'm so embarrassed.
You know, I have jumped onto the train tracks, and now the train is headed straight for me, and my leg is stuck. And I did this just for a stupid
But you're a
reason.
Dad, right? Yeah, I did it like on a dare.
Yeah, I'm a dad.
Or something like that. You're a dad. You tell your baby not to do something 3 times. She does it anyway. She gets hurt just like you had foreseen. And then she gets hurt. And then she's like, daddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't just sit there and watch, man.
I take pleasure in that. I'm
what
like,
is wrong
yeah,
with you?
That's what happens, kid. Yeah.
But then, at the end, you still pick her up and you're like, daddy
afterwards.
Told you. So
but
you let her.
Sometimes you have to let kids
do
that.
Yeah, give it a minute for her to learn the lesson.
Yeah.
But then you come in to save the day.
Yes, and God does that with us
I think God does that with us. He like lets you just soak in the embarrassment of the moment.
You know what you just described? Just then, sister, you know what you just described? Istighfar.
Beautiful.
That's exactly what it is, right?
All right, bro, I'm going to cut you off right there for a sec. We're going to go for a short break and be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining us again on today's episode of Youth Station. And we have been talking about divine aid.
So there was this guy who was going, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, what are you doing? Right, and I'm obviously paraphrasing. Istighfar is when you feel that inner shame and you realize actually, intellectually, that what you did was wrong.
You messed up.
That's istighfar. And if we truly intellectually recognize something as wrong, provided that our other faculties are not pulling us in different directions, different discussion for a different time. But the point is, we recognize that it was wrong. So in coming back to this analogy, the kid goes towards a fire. I told you not to touch the oven. It is hot. It will hurt you. He goes and touches the oven. He gets hurt. And then he feels silly. He feels ashamed.
Mm. Well, first, angry at himself
That's istighfar. The kid has just done istighfar at that very minimal level.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. When we find ourselves backed into a corner, Allah hasn't done this to me, I've done it to myself, we need to do istighfar. And Allah will forgive it.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's all a learning process at the end of the day. If he doesn't, it kind of just defeats the objective. You know that hadith Qudsi that says, if man did not sin, Allah says, if man did not sin, I would create a new species that would sin so I could forgive them. That's how profound
God,
the process is.
Why have I never heard that hadith before?
I know, right?
That is amazing.
It is.
SubhanAllah.
It's like as if it's this course that we're meant to take for our growth, for our, you know, for our self-refinement, to get closer to God and to fall in love with Him.
And it explains the whole story of Prophet Adam as well.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at it with this perspective, he had to approach that tree. He had to eat that fruit. It's part of his own development. We had to come down to this lower level. I think in these examples that we've highlighted, it shows that there's a pattern to when Allah will help you. We've said that he comes to your help when you help him, number one.
Yeah.
We've said that he helps you when you do istighfar, number two.
You feel remorse. You
and
feel your helplessness.
Yeah.
And like, God, you got to help me now, even though I messed up.
So I'm just going to throw this out there, sister. Could the pattern be truth when you're being true to yourself and to
you
who
have
you
ikhlas.
Are? Ikhlas, that sincerity.
Yeah.
Allah will come to your aid, inshallah.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, just as a wrap up, Allah starts His book with the first chapter that says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. From the get-go, He teaches us to only seek His help, ask for His help, meaning that He is the only source of absolute aid and assistance we could expect in this world. So at the end of the day, when if we instill that within ourselves, if we really grasp the fact that if everything and anything goes wrong, God is the only person I can rely on, and He's the only one who can get me out of the messes I get myself into. You know, it's like that sentiment, I think, will win you something.
Absolutely. Just very quickly off that back of that point, I just want to throw this in there as well. See, what happens is, okay, there you get to a point of despair. Nobody's going to help me because this certain honeypot that I thought was going to help me isn't. Right? Mm-hmm. One who trusts in Allah will recognize that, look, if Allah isn't helping you from that particular source, He will help you from another source.
For sure.
So it's about keeping those doors open.
For sure. For sure, never giving up hope.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, you guys, for being with us on today's episode of Youth Station. Until another salam and greeting, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong. Because you are the one I call Creator, my Alpha and Omega, my Protector and my Maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my Defender and my Savior, my Giver and my Taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, aware when I need you, a light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness and my love.